There's so much negativity around us today with this constant barrage of COVID-19 updates. We get daily updates on how many new cases there are and the mounting death toll that there is. Then there's the cost of the economy and how many lives are being affected by this. If we're not careful, all this bad news will overwhelm us, paralyze us with fear, and lead us ultimately to despair in life. And really, the cure can be worse than the disease. This is not what God wants us for us as we respond to. It is a very real world threat and a health crisis, but God has something better, I would submit to you. Instead, we need to see what God is doing through these times, not as some Pollyanna silver lining response, but to see how the Bible calls us to see and respond to this. Last week, I talked to you about how the cure for fearful times is for really to see God's perfect love and how it casts out fear, drives it out of our lives as we are content and confident in what God has done for us, and especially through his love shown through sending his son to die in our place, as 1 John 4:18 we looked at. This week, I want to explore another one of the truths about God, which will anchor us through this time, and just to dive into this more deeply, as it is so needed in this time of constant bad news. It is the goodness of God, which we see, I think, as Romans 8:28 highlights for us. This verse says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Here the context, it goes from "and," so saying, tying this to the context is of, it's just been talking about how life sufferings should lead us to look forward to eternal glory, getting us ready and longing for what is to come. Paul says "we," so by that he means himself as well as other Christians, and we can include ourselves in that. He says "we know." The "know" here Paul is appealing to a well-known fact, something that should be obvious to all Christians. What is it? That all things, not just some things, but all things work together. The idea of working together is to engage in a cooperative endeavor, to insist or to help, which I think is really interesting to think about in light of all the cooperative effort that's being put into fighting this illness right now. But it is, Paul is saying, all things work together, what? For good. What is good? It is what is beneficial or helpful. So Paul is saying here that all things work together for good. And that means even the bad things. You see this from the life of Joseph in Genesis 50:20, where he says, "What you intended for evil, God meant for good." And that's what God is doing, and we need to see that in all things. But he goes on to say, to those, and here he is specifying which people he means, but since not everybody benefits from God's goodness. In fact, Romans 2:3-5 tells us that some people take God's goodness and abuse it. They see it as God's confirmation that they're okay and they don't need to change. And what they end up doing is treasuring up wrath for themselves. This is not a recent problem. Ezra chapter 8, verse 22. Ezra, getting ready to head to Jerusalem, he says he doesn't want to ask for the king's protection because the hand of our God is upon all those who are upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So, if we are on God's side, in a sense, as we'll see in this verse, that God takes even bad and uses it for good, but there are those who God's goodness doesn't have the same effect. And instead, it is a negative effect in their lives ultimately. The rest of the verse says, it is for those who love God. What does that mean? Well, it means those who truly know God and are trusting in Him and following Him. First John, really the whole book, makes the point that true believers love God and then show it. We kind of looked at a lot of that last week. So it is those who truly are trusting in Christ, you know, truly know Him. And then the rest of the verse says, to those who are the called. So this is further defining those who love God. As verses 29 and 30 that follow this, it says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called, and whom He called, these He also justified, and whom He justified, these He also glorified. So there it's defining the called. It is those who God has brought into relationship with Him. Romans 9:24 tells us that the called are not just Jews only, but also Gentiles. It is all those whom God has chosen to save by drawing them to Himself through the gospel. As 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, God is faithful by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what brings us into that relationship, where He calls us into that relationship. And as a work of God that begins with Him, and as we respond in faith, you know, we trust in Him and He transforms us, and we are then on this track to being glorified, as this context makes clear. But why does He do this? This verse tells us this is according to His purpose. Here it's defining why we are called. It's not according to anything that is good in us or something that's seen in us, but it is simply because God wants to do it. As verse 29 and 30 make clear, He foreknew, He predestines, He calls, He justifies, and He glorifies. And what a great statement of eternal security there, because it is a logical progression that once you start, you will be completed in our glorification. 2 Timothy 1:9 puts it this way. It says, who has saved us, as God has, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. How incredible is that? God has purposed to do this before He even made the worlds. Ephesians 1:11, and as well as chapter 3:11, both talk about this eternal purpose of God and how He planned to do this for us. Why? Not because we deserve it, but because He simply wanted to. And that should overwhelm us. So this verse here is telling us how God takes bad and uses it for good. So how does this apply to our lives right now in the COVID-19 crisis? How do we see the goodness of God evidencing itself even during these bad times? Well, first off, we have to realize God's goodness is seen in saving us even when we don't deserve it. I mean, think about Romans 5:8. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve this, and yet God wanted to do this for us. So my question is, are you constantly amazed at God's goodness to you in saving you from sin's eternal condemnation? What we deserve, the wages of sin is death, as Romans 6:25. We deserve eternal death. But instead, God has given us the amazing truths talked about in Romans 5:1. You know, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Spirit who was given to us. I mean, this is what God has done for us. This is what should overwhelm us, because of God's goodness to us, goodness that we don't deserve. And we can have that confidence before Him. So that's the first evidence. I think, secondly, God's goodness is seen in reminding us of several things. looking around at our world today, you know, number one, that he is in control and we are not. And this is just a vivid reminder of that. We take it for granted that so much of our lives we do control. But reality is, God is the only one that's really in control. You see this from the example of Job, and he has all this good stuff, and he loses it in a day. And what does he say? The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, we can get all worked up over that and what we've lost, and whether it's lives or whether it's property or money. But at the end of the day, God is the one who is blessed us with in the first place, so we should be trusting in him through this. I'm so thankful that this crisis hit when it did. There's so many things about just the timing of it to see, starting to look back and seeing, you know what, this would have been way worse at another time in our lives, in the year. You think about this, if this hit in the middle of winter, how much worse would be cooped up inside during this time? The flu is always worse during that time, and it would just amplify the effects of that. Think about if this had happened when our economy was languishing several years ago. It hit when our economy is booming. And so we're in a much better place to absorb some of the costs of this. In the school year, it's kind of towards the end. I mean, yes, there's still important learning going on, but this is a much better time than in the middle of the year. Just thinking church-wise, we are doing well as a church, spiritually, financially, and things. And just we are equipped better to handle this right now than at another time. That's just the first thing. God is in control. And secondly, that ministry is not just what happens on Sunday in our building. It's what it happens in people's lives. So this has been a good reminder for me. Because as a pastor, it's so easy to make things revolve around Sunday and Wednesdays and times when we get together. And the church is people. It's not things. It's not a building. And so ministry can still go on, even when we're dispersed. Recently, my wife found a quote, it says, church is not canceled, it's just dispersed right now. I thought that was a good way to put it. Many of you are having conversations with your friends, your family, and our community that you would not have otherwise. Fear is causing people to think about eternal things, spiritual things. And we have an urgent message that is more important than overcoming any health crisis. We have the good news of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And we're coming up on Easter, and I know we won't be able to celebrate like we normally, but we still have this message to share. Many of us are able to have ministry to our shut-in family and neighbors. This nationwide, even worldwide, the church is mobilizing to help people who are elderly or needy in communities, banding together, helping with food banks and meals I saw a church in Illinois that would help provide meals to the ER people that are working on the front lines there. I mean, these are opportunities we wouldn't have had otherwise. We need to be thankful for the chance to remind us we can still minister. We're seeking to creatively minister as a church. This last week, we had our first Zoom meeting. It's an online video conference where we're able to get together and fellowship and pray for one another and be encouraged from the Word. Thankful that we're able to email and call and text each other. We're utilizing recorded messages and reaching people that we never would have otherwise. I'm so thankful for the technology that is available now that even 5 years ago wasn't there. Everybody in the church, almost everybody, literally, has access to internet in some form. It may not be the same ways, but we're able to reach almost everybody that way. For many that are able to work remotely and their lives are still able to function, we're still able to interact, beyond just calling and texting, even just video chats and things like that. Easter that is coming up has many traditions, and we'll miss those. We'll miss celebrating Palm Sunday and the kids coming down the aisle and with the palm branches and singing those about our King, and Good Friday celebrating communion together and you know, what Christ's death means, and then resurrection, the hope, Resurrection Sunday as we gather and celebrate that. Those are the things that we're not going to be able to do like normal. But we can still observe those truths. In fact, we should be doing this every week. We literally, that's why we meet on Sundays, because we're remembering the resurrection. And the core truth here is that we can celebrate the significance of the death and resurrection of Christ, even in the midst of this. And for once, Easter is not being commercialized with stuff and events. Think about that. I mean, just reading recently that, you know, the Easter dresses, they're not flying off the racks. The Easter candy and the Easter eggs and all that is not going to happen. But the truth of Easter is not affected, and that we can rejoice in. I think something else that God is reminding us about, that we have been way too overscheduled and hectic. And he's forced us to stay home with our families. And, you know, number one, the family is the building block of society. That's part of God's plan. And hopefully this is reminding us how important it is to spend time with our families. And this will continue even after our time of isolation is ended. And we'll continue to prioritize that. But to realize, maybe we've been doing too much. I mean, we need to scale back. I don't know about you, but this has allowed me to catch up on some projects. This, and for many people, things that they haven't been able to get to, now they're able to get to. And hopefully this isn't just for yourself, but for others as appropriate to help them out. Maybe it's needed sleep that you've been able to catch up on, or maybe finally getting to read a good book or listen to a book. We just finished reading as a family, Lord of the Rings. I mean, it's been like a 3-year process. But most importantly, this should give us time to read our Bibles. Someone shared with me that recently. They've been really enjoying just the time to get into the Word again. This is a great time to fill your mind with the truth that will flush out the wrong thinking in your life. That's what we need. So those are God's goodness and his reminders. But there's also God's goodness is in creating desires in us right now. There is a desire in our lives, it should be as Christians, to fellowship again. And we miss the singing. I'm hearing from people like that's one of the things we miss. I mean, yeah, you can still hear a pastor for, you know, teach us. But missing being together, singing together, celebrating the Lord's Supper, so, you know, doing the Bible studies together, Sunday school and interactions and eating together. I mean, those are good desires, and we realize we should prioritize it. Hopefully coming out of this, you know, God is helping us see how important this is to our lives, and how it calms us down and helps us to focus on what we need to. I think God's goodness is seen in realizing we need to take care of our own children's education. Too often we delegate that. And yet ultimately, you know, we are responsible for raising our children to follow the Lord, as Ephesians 6:4 talks about, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. With everyone homeschooling right now, it makes us aware of what is being taught. And hopefully that's, you know, maybe opening some eyes on maybe what needs to be changed. Also realizing that how homeschooling, it can be done. This isn't, I know, you know, everyone's not going to continue like this, but there is something to the fact that pandemics don't interrupt homeschooling. Right now, my kids are continuing on, and they're going to be done here in a few weeks for the year. They're not going to lack that way. Now, that's not for everyone, and this time also will help people to realize how much they're thankful for those who teach. There's many that are kind of pulling their hair out right now as they're scrambling to figure this out. But it's, we need to, ultimately, we're responsible for raising our children to follow the Lord. And then I think lastly here, I think God's goodness is seen as creating a desire to not be so dependent on those who don't have our best interests at heart, whether that's China, or the world or our politicians, but instead to be dependent on those who do, which is first and foremost is God. And as Psalm 27 talks about, you know, how God is good and he doesn't abandon those who trust in him. And how, if we're aware of it, we can see God's goodness to those around us. I mean, you see his love. We talked about it last week in John 3:16, and how God loved the world. That's why he sent his son. He demonstrated his love toward us while we were still sinners, as Romans 5:8. So God is one that we can always trust, first and foremost. And this should be highlighting that, you know, and see a desire to be dependent on him. We should also be dependent on our families. That 1 Timothy 5:4-8 talks about that should be a natural thing. That should be what we do, is care for one another. But there also is the church that God has given to love each other. I mean, that should be the number one mark, as 1 John kind of the whole thing talks about. You know, we love God, we love one another, and it's the new commandment that he's given to us. And to then our communities, we care for one another. I'm thankful to live in the Midwest, you know, where we do band together and take care of each other. Even as a country, as people are stepping up and taking care of others, this is the way it should be. You know, God is, goodness is at work right now. But do you see that? So to wrap it up here, seeing the goodness of God in our lives right now should help us to see that God is at work and we can trust him. You know, that he hasn't abandoned us, he hasn't left us, but he is continuing to show his goodness in our lives. So remember, he is always has our good and his glory in view, and he is working all things to that end. The question is, will you seek to see what good God is up to right now? And will you help others to see God's goodness as well, so that our bad times will become our good times? Father, we thank you for this verse, the simple truth, yet so profound, that you are taking bad and using it for good in our lives. Help us to see that in our times right now and those around us. Lord, that we would point others to your goodness, and that we wouldn't take advantage of it, but we would respond to it in recognizing how much we don't deserve what you've done for us, and trusting in you, and that we would see your hand of goodness in our lives, not just in this life, but for eternity. And that we would share that good news with those around us, and that we would, our eyes would be opened to your goodness. You are a good God. You are a great God, but you are good. And we thank you so much for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.